My brothers and sisters in the Lord, history has been filled with naysayers. Individuals who did not believe something could be accomplished or would be accomplished. I have a few examples here, and certainly these are only a few. And I quote, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. This device is inherently of no value to us," read a Western Union internal memo dated 1876. Another one, "The wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular?" David Skarnoff's associates in response to his urgings for them to invest in the radio in 1920. I'm just glad it'll be Clark Gable who's falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper said this about his decision not to take the leading role in Gone with the Wind. "We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out." Decca Recording Company rejecting the Beatles in 1962. And certainly, my friends, the list could go on and on. There have been naysayers in history, and there have been naysayers in salvation history. There were naysayers about Jesus. Look at the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. Even Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do these people say that I am?" And they come up with their list. There were those who rejected Jesus, rejected the teachings of Jesus, rejected that he could possibly be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so he was led to the cross to die for you and for me. And even as he dies on that cross, he says and prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The naysayers. And you see, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we can be in that number. Sometimes we can be the naysayers, even when it comes to our faith. And certainly for all of us here, it's probably not we outright reject the faith. If we did, we would not be in church this morning. But are we on fire with the faith? Are we more than just minimalistic when it comes to our desire to follow Jesus? As Jesus says right at the beginning of the gospel this morning, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing." Are we on fire for the Lord? Are we on fire with our faith? Are we on fire to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, to be an evangelizer? Or are we a naysayer? Do we kind of just go with the flow? Downplay our faith so as not to cause any conflict? You see, my brothers and sisters, in order for us to be on fire, in order for the Lord to set our heart ablaze so that it is burning, then we need to read the signs of our time. Because in reading the signs of our time, my brothers and sisters, we understand what the challenges are that we face. Not only as a society, but also as individuals in our life of faith and in our life of discipleship. I think one of the first things that we can recognize by reading the signs of the times is this. As a people, my friends, we are materially rich. We are materially well off. And some people may say, "Well, Father, I'm not a millionaire or a billionaire." But if we look at our lives, we are relatively comfortable. We have homes and houses. Our homes are filled with all sorts of toys and gadgets of all kinds. And when we understand that we are materially rich, there's a certain obstacle there when it comes to living out the faith. Because the temptation is always to put our things or our wealth before our God. There's an interesting little story about how termites saved the ministry to God's people. Now, we know a lot about termites here in Southeast Louisiana. But the story actually took place in around the 1950s in Switzerland. There was a couple. Their last name was Schaefer, Dr. Francis and Edith Schaefer. And they lived in Switzerland, and they had begun a ministry to the youth. And then during the 1950s, around 1955, there was a very much upheaval in the weather. And their home was pretty much destroyed, filled with water and mud. Their two children were ill at the time. And about a week later, after the storm had passed, they received an eviction notice. And the eviction notice said that they had to leave the town because they were having a religious influence on the people. And so they were being evicted from this little town in Switzerland for having that religious influence. Now, the way Switzerland works, my friends, it's not just like here. You know, if you and I want to move to somewhere else, to Lafayette, to Houston, to another state, we just kind of pick up and go. Not in Switzerland. Switzerland's divided into districts or cantons. And in order to move from one district to the next, you have to apply to the local government. And they can either accept you or they can reject you. And the Schaefers were not Swiss citizens. So not only could they be rejected by another local government, they could have been told to leave the country. And so they began to look for another home in another district since they were being evicted from this one. But everything that they found was too expensive or was something that they couldn't afford. And then one day, Edith was with the real estate agent, and they were in this other district, and they found the perfect house. It was a large house in the country, just what they were looking for in order for them to continue their ministry to the youth of the area. There was only one problem. The house was for sale and not for rent, and they didn't have any money for a down payment. And so Edith prayed that whatever God's will would be done. Well, around the same time here in the U.S., there was another family by the last name of Salisbury. And this family had received a large inheritance. And they were going to go and buy a new home. They found their new home. And as they were inspecting the new home, they went up into the attic. And when they went into the attic, they found termites in the rafters. And upon seeing these termites, the family began to reflect. And when they opened their Bible, they turned to Matthew chapter 6, which reads this. Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so they decided that they were going to take this money and not buy a new house, but they were going to invest it in a work of the kingdom. And they knew the ministry that the Schaefers were doing in Switzerland. And so as this woman was praying, 2 days later, a letter arrives from the family in the U.S., with the donation of the money that they were going to use to buy their house. And it was just enough money for them to buy the house in Switzerland. And their ministry to youth began to grow throughout Europe and even here into the United States as the years went on. But you see, my brothers and sisters, it was termites that allowed the work of the kingdom to continue. And maybe some of us think, well, maybe we need a few termites to remind us where we're storing up our treasure. We are materially wealthy, my friends, but that is an obstacle. I think the second thing, if we read the signs of the times, is yes, we're materially wealthy, but in much of a sense, we are spiritually poor as a people. We look at everything that's going on in the world. We look at the number of people who attend a church service on a Sunday decrease every year. They do the survey or the poll. We look at changes in morality. We look at this whole notion as a society that now it's more important to feel good than to do good. And we who are followers of Christ know that the most important thing is not how we feel, but about what the call of God is in our life. And a lot of times doing good doesn't feel good. It's how St. Paul could say that he was able to rejoice in his sufferings, because it's how he was led by God. But so many times, my friends, in our own spiritual life, we want the gain without the pain. We don't want to do the work. And so there's that sense that we are spiritually poor. There's also a sense, my brothers and sisters, that we are afraid. We are afraid because we don't know what to do. For many people, there's this hole in their heart, this hole in their existence. And they're searching in all the wrong places. And amongst all the wrong things, because only God can fill it. Do we understand that? And do we believe that as we live out our life of discipleship? As the Lord wants to set our hearts on fire. Notice what Jesus says in the gospel right after that. Do you think I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Many people are confused by that verse. But what Jesus is saying, my brothers and sisters, is that faith does not divide us. It is the rejection of faith that divides. And that's what puts mother against father, or father against son, or mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. And the list continues, neighbor against neighbor. Because you see, to be the disciple, to be the witness, means that we cannot be afraid to be rejected. We cannot be afraid, like Jeremiah, we might be thrown in the cistern, whatever that may look like in our own life. But the call of God is the call to be the disciple, to not be afraid. If you've ever read the life of Jimmy Stewart, his life was a life that was truly based on his belief in God and on his faith. And as he was going off for World War II, his father, Alex Stewart, wrote him a letter. And this is just a small quote from that letter. "My dear Jim boy, soon after you read this letter, you will be on your way to the worst sort of danger. I am banking on the enclosed copy of the 91st Psalm. The thing that takes the place of fear and worry is the promise of these words. I can say no more. I love you more than I can tell you. Signed, Dad." And those who are familiar with the 91st Psalm knows that it reads in part, "For he shall send his angels to have charge over you, and they will keep you all the days of your life." You see, my friends, when it comes to the naysayers, when it comes to the signs of our times, things can look pretty bleak. But we have faith that the Lord leads and guides us each and every day, that he sends his angels to surround us, and that we are surrounded, as we heard in our second reading, by the great cloud of witnesses. We call them the saints. And unlike the football team, they always win. Do we have that kind of faith? Is our heart set on fire today? And if not, let us ask the Lord for the grace to reignite it so that we can go forth and be instruments of his grace in the world.